Welcome to the Church of Quell Creek podcast, a ministry of the Church of Quell Creek in Amarillo, Texas. Dive in with us as we open God's words and then stick around for a message from our pastor.
When I was young, a movie came out that talked about a tale as old as time. It talked about a story that seemed like you knew it. You know what's interesting to me is most stories, if we really looked into it, we have heard. It's kind of a repeat, if you will. And certainly we know that a lot of what's coming out before our kids is just a redone version of a movie that we've already seen. It may change a little, but it's the same story. It had to have felt like this for Paul. You see, Paul, when he starts his journeying, he goes to this area called Galatia. It's full of people that don't really fit our Bible story. They don't look the part of Israelis. They look a lot like us, really, like in America, pale-skinned guys like me, except blue eyes. They look more like Vikings. I mean, that's really what Galatia kind of looks like, if you're really to pin down what Galatians looked and sounded like. Paul's walking through this area of Galatia, and I remember as a kid wondering, what town is Galatia at? Well, Galatia is a map. Galatia is a group. It's an area, if you will. Think of West Texas. Think of Galatia now. Probably is dry. I mean, certainly they have a coast like we do. The waters off the coast of Galatia do not look like the Gulf of Texas. They are not that nasty. But you can just imagine the weather's kind of the same, hot, dry, deserty. And Paul travels Galatia to many churches, and in his journeying, he writes back to those churches. Because something had happened. Before he gets there and he's looking at the landscape, he sees a group of people that are confused. Multiple religions have found their way into Galatia. And because of that, there's several arguments that have broken out. Who's right? What's wrong? And how do we decide what's truth? It sounds a lot like today, right? There's a lot of truth out there, but who's right? Who's wrong? And this is what Galatia, the area, was struggling with. So when Paul shows up, he's telling the people there has to be a truth, because there can't be multiple truths that disagree with each other. And so he goes there and he visits the churches and he establishes the truth of Jesus and what he does and how God promised this Savior. And then he leaves. Ultimately, he will travel the map and go around greater Greece. But at this point, he's kind of North Turkey, Asia, that kind of area. This is where Galatia is found. And so here's Paul's letter. He writes back because he hears something has happened. They've grown confused again. And so what we're going to read today is Paul trying to tell the Galatian churches what's wrong. So if you want to join me in the text, we are going to be in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, and we're going to start with the 11th verse. Galatians, the book of Galatians, is filled with wonder and with deep theology. It gives us a good insight into how to live and what it looks like to be a follower of God. He's writing to a church that can live this out and has lived this out, but have heard from sources that have changed their minds. I want to start today just by giving you a caution. Be careful who you see as spiritual authority. Make sure that they breathe the word of God and not the word of themselves. We live in such a digital age today where everybody looks the part, but not all share the truth of the word of God. And you're going to find yourself going, that sounds right, until you open your own Bible and realize it's not. This was the problem with the Galatian church. Those churches that were established in all these cities, the problem really was that they heard from good sources, with the wrong subjects. And they were confused. They were trying their best to be good Christians. They just didn't know what it meant. So as you and I read the book of Galatians, you can see Paul speaking to you to be careful, to listen well, and to hold on to truth. Galatians 2 verse 11 says, "But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him face to face. He opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For he regularly ate with the Gentiles before certain men came from James. However, when they came, he withdrew and separated himself because he feared those from the circumcision party. Then the rest of the Jews joined his hypocrisy, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were deviating from the truth of the gospel, I told Cephas in front of everyone, 'If you who are a Jew live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you compel Gentiles to live like Jews?'" I want to stop here because I wanted y'all to see this text. Paul says a name. I think it's interesting that when Paul says a name, he means it. I've said before, I've always read Paul's letters as though Paul was the nicest guy on the planet. I've since learned that I think Paul would have been hard to deal with. He was that guy you didn't want to make mad because you were afraid he was going to write about you in a letter. You didn't realize that your name not only went in that letter, eventually it would go into the Word of God. And that 1,000 years later, we would be reading it in Amarillo, Texas and going, "Oh, Cephas, how dare you?" So here's this guy, Cephas. He's living amongst the people. He's a good guy. You'd have liked Cephas. The problem is this, that when everybody was gone, Cephas acted like a Gentile. He hung out with Gentiles. He liked Gentiles. He ate with Gentiles. Except for when any Jews came to town. Then he went, "Oh, those Gentiles are scum of the earth. I would never eat with them. Ha, ha, ha." And Paul shows up. And he goes, "Hey, what's up, Cephas? Didn't you eat at Bob's house the other day? No, that wasn't you. Are you sure? You're a jerk. Let me write a letter about that. Dear Galatians, Cephas is a jerk." That's what it says here. In fact, he tells him this. "You don't even know what you're doing. Just be real. Church, let me just invite you into a real conversation. Don't let your Christianity be fake. Don't try and live like we're all TV evangelists. Instead, let's live like we're genuine people." Now, I caution you not to live like the world. We're not called to live in sinfulness. We are called to live genuinely, though. We're not called to be fake. And I think that may be the greatest hit on Christianity today, is that most Christians live like Jesus on Sundays and like the other guy the rest of the week. And so the world doesn't see any difference in us. Or, what's worse, we act like the world doesn't affect us at all. We stand on street corners and go, "Yes, I am so above all of y'all. Look at how good I act. Look at how well I speak. I am Christian. Hear me roar." And the world goes, "You sound like meow. Because you don't look like Jesus at all." So Paul's calling out the Cephas guy and he's saying, "Hey, listen, we all know who you are." And what's more is this, he calls out Cephas, he says in this letter, to his face in front of everyone. He's like, "Yo, Cephas, while we're all in the room, don't you eat with the Gentiles when all these guys are gone?" How does Paul know? You ever wondered that? How would Paul know that Cephas eats with Gentiles? Who do you think Paul eats with? With Gentiles. Who do you think Paul also eats with? Jews. Paul's like, "Listen, I just like eating. Everybody's welcome to my house. Let's make this happen." The only people that aren't welcome are those that Cephas doesn't want to see. Why? Why is Cephas one way privately and one way publicly? Except he's wishy-washy and not dependable. The question I have to ask is this. If 60 Minutes came and did a story of your life, who would they say you are? Paul or Cephas? You see, this is the beauty of what we get to do while we're here together, is live in reality. God has absolutely called you to a mission field, and it may not be loved by everyone around you, but you better use your gifts. Amen. People need Jesus, and they need to see Jesus in you. Amen. Paul goes on to say in verse 15, we are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. And yet, because we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we ourselves have believed in Christ Jesus. This is so that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law, no human being will be justified. But if we ourselves are also found to be sinners while seeking to be justified by Christ, is Christ then a promoter of sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild those things that I tore down, I show myself to be a lawbreaker. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died for what? Nothing. You foolish Galatians. Who has cast a spell on you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? I only want to learn this from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? After beginning by the Spirit, are you now finishing by the flesh? Did you experience so much for nothing, if in fact it was for nothing? So then does God give you the Spirit and work miracles among you by your doing the works of the law? Or is it by believing what you have heard, just like Abraham who believed God and is accredited to him for righteousness? You know then that those who have faith, these are Abraham's sons. Now the scripture saw in advance that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and proclaim the gospel ahead of time to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed through you. Consequently, those who have faith are blessed with Abraham who had faith. I just want to stop here for a second and just tell you, Paul's about to give an argument and just has that is revolutionary. Paul just connects the Gentile nation to being sons and daughters of Abraham. This wasn't being taught in the temple. You see, to fall in love with God and to know his purposes, you had to be a Jew. To be a child of Abraham meant that you're a child of promise. And what Paul just says to the Galatian churches is that those who have faith are God's children and thus are given the promise saying that all nations will be blessed by God through Abraham's seed. Amen. This is a challenge. Again, I'm telling you, there's a reason Paul is ran out of most towns. The reason is he is not this fuddy-dud. He's not wishy-washy. He is strong. And in his strength, he conveys truth. And that truth is not always easy to palate. We sit as the church of now, those who have been post-Christ. But many in this crowd are not. They were contemporaries. They're established. They're older. And Paul's telling them something contrary to probably what they heard in the temple that week. He's challenging them, and he's saying to the churches of Galatia, you don't have to be a Jew to be saved. You don't have to follow the laws to be in right standing with God. All you need is Jesus. The gospel is Jesus plus nothing. That's the gospel. Jesus plus nothing. So you and I have amazing grace given to us because you and I are given Jesus, an opportunity with Jesus, and we don't have to add anything to it. Now, I want to tell you that James, Jesus' brother, writes to the church, and he tells them that faith without works is what? It's dead. You know what he doesn't say, though? Works is the way. There is one way by which men, women, boys, and girls should be saved, and that is Jesus. That's it. Your resume can't save you. Your good works can't save you. Your church membership can't save you. None of that saves you. Just Jesus, that's it. It doesn't mean that we just keep sinning. And Paul tells them that. He says in verse 19 that we just read, For though the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God, I've been crucified with Christ. Which means this, that you and I, in our faith relationship with Jesus, we have crucified the old self, and we no longer live, verse 20 says, but Christ lives in us. And he is arguing to the church. Look at verse 17. But if we ourselves are also to be found sinners while seeking to be justified by Christ, is Christ then a promoter of sin? Does Christ promote sin? No. Paul says, absolutely not. You and I need to work out our faith. We need to stop our foolishness. We need to seek his favor and his lifestyle and apply it. But even if you fail time and time and time again, his grace is more than your failures. His love is more than your sin. Don't think you can outdo him, but don't try it either. That's what Paul tells the churches of Galatia. Because what they're hearing is this: church, Jesus is good. And we all want to know Jesus. They're hearing this. You all want to know Jesus. But you do need to make sure that you obey all the law as well, or Jesus isn't enough. And Paul's like, No. It's Jesus plus nothing. You can't add Jesus plus extra works and hope that you get more Jesus. Jesus is enough, period, end of story. Your good works is just honor and praise back to God. It doesn't make you better. Salvation made you better. We won't get to heaven and God go, hey, listen, you get the extra line because you were extra. He says, you knew my son. He saved you. Welcome to heaven. Enter into rest that you didn't earn, but that my son gave you. You see, good and faithfulness, we can't achieve. It's what he gives us. We can't even hope to be a part of his family without Christ. Listen to what he says in verse 10 to the church at Galatia, chapter 3, verse 10. For all who rely on the works of the law are what? Under a curse. How is the law a curse? He writes this, because it is written, everyone who does not do everything written in the book of the law is what? Cursed. So if we depend upon the law for salvation, we're cursed because you can't do it. Amen. That's why we needed Jesus so desperately. And then he says this to the church. Look down at verse 12. But the law is not based on faith. Instead, the one who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Because it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. The purpose was that the blessing of Abraham would come to the Gentiles by Christ Jesus, so that we could receive the promised Spirit through faith. Amen. This is such a good verse. Amen. You and I have no opportunity of heaven because we do not belong to Abraham. Because most of us in this room, if not all of us in this room, are Gentile. And we needed help. But you know what Abraham's children needed? Help. Because the law to them was a curse as well. So Jesus became the curse for us. Amen. I want you to know about salvation. The action of salvation, the actionable part of salvation was done on the cross for you. Amen. So that you and I could trust in him, believe in him. Let me just tell you what belief looks like. It's small. Belief is small. But man, is it significant. Your belief only saves you if Jesus is real. Right? Do y'all agree with me? Your belief only means something if Jesus is real. Amen. Praise God, he's real. Praise God, his actions really happened. Praise God that because of his broken body and his shed blood, he died for us and made a way for us when we didn't deserve it and we couldn't even uphold the law he gave us. The powerful part about Jesus is this. He knew us, and he did it anyway. That's powerful to me. Several seasons ago, I decided I was going to go Black Friday shopping. My kids were little. We drove into Lubbock, and we got a hotel, and my wife gave me a list, and I got up early, and I went to this little place, this chain box store that you throw darts at. You know what you're throwing at. Anyways, and you miss that a lot, or you hit the... Anyways, so I go to this big box store, and I'm standing outside, and they start to say, okay, folks, we're going to let a few of y'all in here in a minute. Let's remind ourselves. Let's be cordial to one another. 'Tis the season, folks. And we started to go in the door, and I got pushed by about six people behind me. And I'm like, this ain't cordial. And we got in, and everybody starts running. And I was like, I'm not doing that. And I got to what I should have bought, and as I reached down to get it, a hand went, boom, and took it out. And I went, not getting that. So I go to the next thing on the list, and I'm like, here it is. I stood in line after standing in line to get the thing I stood in line to get. Staying in line. I get it. I turn around, and a guy goes, I'll buy it from you. I'm like, there's a lot. Get in line. I'm thinking, this is dumb. You ever been up so early that everything's dumb? This was ultra dumb. And I'm angry, and I'm thinking through, do I really want anything else? And I remember I got a couple of things. The list was long. I got like two things, which, by the way, both were wrong. So I get back to the hotel. It's still early. I get there, put the stuff down, and April looks at me. And she goes, did you get it? I said, some of it. She comes over and goes, that's not right. And I'm like, I don't care. I'm not going back. I barely made it out alive, so if you want the right stuff, get up. I laid back down. I was angry. I was sweating. I'm laying in bed, and I'm thinking, my kids haven't even been that good this year. Hate this. I just remember thinking, I had this plan that I was going to walk through. It was going to be early, but as I stood in line, they're going to give us like hot chocolate. I was going to drink hot chocolate and walk in, and Christmassy music was going to be playing, and everything I wanted was going to be there, and I was going to pick it up, put it in my basket. Somebody would come in front of me and go, oh, I'm sorry, sir, 'tis the season. I was going to, God bless you. That wasn't it. Instead, it made me go, I wish it was Thanksgiving again. Y'all know what I'm saying? Y'all ever have that Christmassy time wish that Thanksgiving was still there? Football and turkey instead of shopping and jerkies? I don't know. I hated it. And I had this plan, and it fell apart, and I was frustrated, and I was laying in bed, and I was just like, ah! God has this amazing plan for your life. And it was so good that he added himself in the middle of it. He didn't just let you wander. He made a plan on top of a plan for you. And his requirement of you is this. Believe. Amen. Believe. That's nuts. Belief. That's it. He says in this, guys, this is so good. Verse 25 of Galatians 3. But since faith has come, we're no longer under a guardian. For through faith, you are all what? Sons of God in Christ Jesus. Man. Verse 27, for those who have been baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. There is no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male and female, since you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. You are a part of the family of Abraham because of Jesus. This is awesome. The Gentiles must have thought, what if we're wrong? What if at the end of all of this, We've put our faith in this Jesus guy, and we're wrong. What if we're wrong? And Paul's telling them, you forget who Jesus is. Who is Jesus? Emmanuel. God with us. He changes everything. He took the Gentile nation that had no part in the promise of God. No bloodline, no familiarity, no background, no priests. And he became the high priest for them. And he did the same thing for us, that you and I might be called the righteousness of God. Amen. Jesus made a way for them, and he makes a way for us. Amen. Today, do you believe Jesus is who he says he was? Yes. Have you put your hope, faith, and trust in him to be the Savior and Lord of your life? If so, today is the day to rejoice. Amen. It's the day to thank him again for the greatness of what he's done in your life. But if you don't, if your faith is not in Christ, and listen, welcome. We're glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. Today is your day to do that, to believe. He made a way for you when you and I didn't deserve it. And he makes you holy because of him. Today, if you'd like to know more about Jesus, I would love to talk to you. I love to pray with you and just talk to you about how good he is in my life. And I'd love to have you walk after him like I'm choosing to walk after him. Today, I'll have some friends here with me, and we would love to talk to you about that. You're going to see something today that hadn't happened in a while, and I want you to know it's going to happen. I challenged men yesterday at our men's prayer breakfast to come and pray, to come to the altar and pray for themselves, for their walk, and for you. So I don't want to confuse you. We'll have some friends here facing you. And then you'll see some men either upstairs kneeling at the bars upstairs or down here kneeling at the front. And I want you to know what they're doing. They're praying. They're asking Jesus to do something in their life and in the life of their church. And that's you. So I want you to know that's about to happen so that you're not confused. Today, God has a plan for your life that looks better than a line at that place. And he meant for your good. And he did that through his death so that you would have life and life abundantly. Amen. If you're curious about it, let's talk about it. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I pray for my friends in this room that they would know you, that you would be the Lord of their life, that you would change this room. God, that you would lead them well. Lord, we want you to win this moment. So, Lord, we ask that you would bind the enemy away. The enemy wouldn't have any place in this room, but only you. And next, Lord, that we'd be obedient to the call that you're putting upon our life. Lord, that you save us and you redeem us and you make us new. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do in these next few moments in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. Hey, this is Pastor Kyle. I want you to know that I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you see the love that Jesus has for you by paying the price for your sins. I pray that if you haven't already, you would take the time right now to talk to Jesus and ask him to forgive your sins and lead your life from here on out. We would love to talk to you about Jesus and getting to know him better. Contact us by emailing us at info@tcqc.org, tcqc.org, or by finding us on social media. We would love to meet you. I hope you had a wonderful day, and as always, we would love for you to join us for worship really soon.